Vielen Dank.
Thank you very much, Mr. Aichina. Now our Q&A session, and I would like to ask you to ask your questions, raising your hand to indicate that you'd like to ask a question. I'm going to call on you one or the other. Then please use the microphones. Please press the button. And once you've ended your question, then press the button again so that the mic is switched off. First, Mr. Kroneck, first question, and then Mr. Kunz.
Well, I've got several questions. We are talking about the special non-recurring items in the current fiscal year. You said the trend is a downward trend. Could you give us a few figures in this respect, or will the burden for the company remain the same, in particular with a view to the U.S. Business, you see, credit provisions, etc., etc.? Then March, figures for March. What is the trend you can foresee? Will the sales go down as much as in February or January? And do you expect other non-recurring items afterwards? And then the reduction of the... non-exempt employees, and then the bailout. You were a bit restrictive in your statement, but there are people who say to give support to the BMW Bank. People are investigating this. Now, what about you? What have you done in this respect? Well, you prepared very well for these questions, because it obviously covers everything that has to be talked about here. Mr. Aichina, please. Well, let me say a few words about these non-recurring items. You mentioned in particular the U.S. business and the residual value provisions. When looking at the year 2009, I can say that the average losses incurred by the end of the year, in particular during December and November, were determined. Now, in comparison with these plans, we can say that there's a slight improvement ahead of us, but this year is still a young one, and we still have got many returns which we have to market during this year. Therefore, we're still waiting. We want to see whether or not the trends will stabilize, but I can say that there's one positive trend, i.e. we don't have to accept too many losses in this respect. Sales in March, maybe you could answer this question, March sales.
It's too early to say where March will finally end.
But we are likely to see that the sales are lower than 2008. There are some markets which are performing strongly, but others that are clearly being affected by the situation we've seen over the last few months. So, as I said, too early to give a final number, but likely to be below 2008.
Gut, jetzt haben wir zwei Frageteile noch, einmal Staatshilfe.
Well, now we had two answers, Mr. Aichina, please, and the annual bonus, Mr. Krüger, please. I can say clearly that the BMW Bank does not need any state bailout, and we haven't filed any applications. And of course, we are watching and monitoring the developments, and competitive factors also play a role, and we prepare ourselves, you see, if our competitors try to get these monies from the state. We've got two policies when it comes to salaries and wages policies. First of all, the members of the board down to the shop floor workers are taken into account in good and in bad times. And Dr. Reithofer mentioned the second aspect in his presentation, that is, this share will rise with the rising echelons. So the staff will have 10% lower income, 30% higher, and mid-management also 30 to 40%. So everything is dependent on the success of the respective person in her or his respective echelon. Next question, Mr. Schulz. Sorry. I wanted to know about the outlook for the first quarter of 2009. What will BMW do? Will you generate profits and all this after non-recurring items? Well, I assume that this is a very important question, and the CEO should also answer this question.
Das erste Quartal ist noch nicht abgeschlossen.
So, you know, the first quarter hasn't come to an end yet. We have to wait for the figures and data for March. And Ian already said that the March will be below the figures for last year.
maybe in, you know, in two digits. At present, and this refers to the first quarter of this year, we're a bit restrictive in our statements. You know, the reason for that is that the environmental climate, referring to the economic conditions in the world, do not allow us to make precise forecasts. And we cannot say anything about the first quarter this year. I can only say we are fighting. We are fighting for a profit? I didn't say that. All right, Mr. Kunz, please.
Dr. Eichiner, you provided lots of details about the risk provisions in the United States. Are there any contractual risks from the lease cars in Europe, and what is the amount or the quantity? And then there's another question I have. What is a structural development of the financial services business? What do you mean by that?
Thank you very much, Mr. Kunz. Mr. Eichiner, please.
I mentioned
that we've got these risks in the European markets, and we prepared ourselves, in particular the UK market and the German markets. We responded to the changing situation. I can say that the provisions for the residual values was generated in particular with a view to the American market, because here, and for the other markets, the provisions were much lower. Second item, structures in the financial services business. Well, you see, at present, we try to develop further in structural terms as well. Our access to central banks is one element of our strategies. Of course, we're working on that. Now, when looking back at the bottlenecks after the Lehman crisis and after the Lehman bankruptcy, you see, we are in the process of working out how to handle changes ahead of us, or how we can implement respective aspects. This will be done in stages, but at the end of the day, it's all about the flexibility in financing, expand the flexibility, and even when you face a critical situation, a crisis, then you still want to have enough financial means available. Mr. Markenheim and then Mr. Fasse, please. Three questions. You said that you have a decline of 10 to 20% for the market, and I assume that you also take into account a similar range of percentages for BMW as well. Now, what do you think will be the decline of sales or sales revenues, 10 to 20%, or what will be the figure for BMW? Now, we have the declining sales revenues of 24% by February. Now, is there an order of magnitude which you extrapolate to take into account all of the year? Or can you say us very clearly whether reductions of jobs is excluded this year? Because there are speculations going around that one or the other plant might be closed down. Can you give us a specific answer, or do you want to leave it open? Two, corporations. You mentioned PSA, Daimler. Now, with a view to Daimler, can you give me an idea of how these, how high these savings might be? Or could you also tell me what is the variant which would give you most food, so to speak? What is the highest potential, the potential with PSA or with Daimler? And about Opel, your press spokesman said that there is no interest. Now, that there is interest, sorry. Is there a no because the situation is not very clear, or what is the situation right now? Mr. Reithofer, I believe you should answer these questions. Sales, decline in sales revenues. Well, Mr. Schöppel, let me start with the last question, because this is the question which I remember very well, talking about Opel. Clearly, no, we are not interested in Opel. It was never our intention to get on board, that is, to get a share in Opel. A clear answer, a clear no. You wanted a clear answer without without using our press people. It is a no. Second item, corporations, savings, economies of scales in our corporations with Daimler. I can say that it is yet too early to say anything. If we can give you figures, then we will provide these figures, and I think this is necessary due to the fairness when it comes to working together with another company. And PSA, well, that was an interesting company for us. We had enormous investment, i.e. mechanical production, in a PSA plant, and you certainly know that mechanical productions require several hundreds of millions of euros in investment. BMW did the concept development for this project, and I also want to say something about these rumors that we're going to have a Porsche engine. Now, we developed the concept, we used our technology in this engine. Of course, we benefit from the fact that we can produce large quantities because of the economies of scale, which we can generate by doing so, by cooperating. You know, 7,500 jobs, including Serquent. Now, if you deduct Serquent, then I should say that we are going to have 5,800, 5,700 core staff without the Serquent sales. And if you then take into account the 6,000 temps, which the jobs of whom we cut, means we are talking about a staff of 10,000 people. And you will certainly remember that we want to axe 1,800 jobs, but we exceeded this figure. This means we are going to have a solid line basis for 2009. In the beginning of 2008, we were not able to estimate these figures or forecast these figures. So, the next item was, will we cut further jobs? You see, on average, we lose 1,500 to 2,000 people because of retirement and because of fluctuations. If you now assume that we are going to take over 100 apprentices, then this means we will have a reduction of jobs in the amount of, to the tune of, 1,000 to 1,500. Part-time work or short-time work, this may be old-fashioned for you. You see, we have a responsibility vis-à-vis the society in which we are active. This may sound old-fashioned. You see, the Federal Chancellor asked the DAX 30 companies in particular to use this approach so that these DAX 30 companies will be able to keep more staff in comparison with introducing or using this short-time work approach. And Mr. Kronheim, I believe this also adds to your question. We do not know what's in store for us in the near future. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to say or recap, what is the volume situation for 2008? What was it in the premium segment? Over the first 6 months, in the premium segment, I'm not talking about BMW, I'm talking about the world development. We had a decline in volume by 2.6%, minus 25, minus 26%. January, premium segment, minus 25%. February, down 25%. So we can say now, between the last quarter of 2008 and the first 6 months, and the comparison between the two, a massive downfall took place. I've been working in the automotive industry many, many years, and I've never seen a turning point like this, a downfall like this. And this, of course, means that it is very difficult to make any forecasts in this respect because nobody of us was able to expect or foresee something like this. Closures of plants? A clear no again. You see, plants are long-term investments. And just recall 1973, Eberhard von Kuhnheim built Dingolfing somewhere in the green field, and everyone said BMW is crazy doing something like this. You see, investment in plants are in long-term investments for 30, 40 years. You don't do investments like this for 3, 4 years. You see, we are a large manufacturer, and we want to grow ourselves, not growing by using economies of scale. Oh, that's enough. Okay, thank you. Mr. Fasse, and if I saw it correctly, Mr. Friedrich. Mr. Fasse, and then Mr. Friedrich, please. Sales. The sales margin, you said 10 to 20% decline of the market figures. What does that mean for BMW? Well, you see, the mass producers lost 4 to 5% less than the premium manufacturers. Our figure, 25%. Then the mass producers 20%. And of course, the scrapping bonus is good for these manufacturers. It helps them a little, and I should say that it is a bit too early. We've got a Polk survey saying that we will have minus 18% in the premium segment, and this is all I know or have available at my disposal. Mr. Fasse, please. I would like to ask about the structural developments of the financial business. Does that mean that you are thinking about entering into partnerships with other banks or maybe with car banks so that you merge the respective back offices? Are you in the process of talking to others? And then second question relates to inventories, which you wanted to reduce significantly. Could you give us a few figures? What was the previous situation and what's the current situation? And the current assets, which you've increased, what do you want to do with the 8 billion euros in 2009? Is it also about giving support to dealers, to retailers? Mr. Fasser, Mr. Eichiner, please. Structural development. You see, in this case, we have two specific objectives. One means that we want to be a bit more independent in crises. We want to make use of our own means in a more flexible way. This is one of the objectives we have. At present, we do not want to take on another partner or another bank. It is all about the structural further development and expansion of our own financial services business. Liquidity? Oh, I've got an additional question. You see, now, when looking at our financial services business, we also have maturities and due dates which we have to look at, and we have to think of refinancing, which has to be done as well. And I mentioned that before as well. We are going to refinance vehicles. We want to give support and support the marketplace in this respect. Many clients want to have this refinancing approach and method, otherwise they'd go to our competitors. This means we need additional means, and we succeeded in pre-financing things, i.e. getting funds and means to take into account the situation where there might be more receivables coming from the capital market, so all this will be made available. So this means BMW Financial is going to do that alone. You will not enter into a cooperation. Yes, there will be no cooperation. Inventories, Mr. Arndt, please. I think when talking about inventories, we have proven that we are a company looking ahead into the future. Third quarter 2008 to the end of the fourth quarter of 2008, we were able to reduce this quantity by 55,000. This is a good figure. Of course, you will read the specific figures in our annual report for 2009. We were able to continue this trend, and this means we optimize our working capital accordingly. Now, Mr. Friedrich and Mr. Zimny, please. Friedrich from DPA, about short-time work, and you said that you want to extend this approach. What about production here in Munich? Will we have similar measures here as well? And then Mrs. Klatten, your major shareholder, she bought shares in another major company and Project I. Can you see that in this context like Project I? What is the further development? Well, let me start with short time. Mr. Krüger, please answer this question. We are not only using short time of work. We've been in intense discussions with our works councils, thinking about how we can be more flexible in reducing the working hours. Then there are people who have got a flexible labor time or working time account in two plants, vehicle plants like Munich and Leipzig, no short-time work in these two plants. And we've agreed in our talks with the Works Council that we're going to extend the short-time work period until March or maybe April. And of course, we also have to look at Berlin. 190 staff are affected in Berlin, 2,700 in component production. And of course, these people, and this has to do with the supplies to the Dingolfing and Regensburg plants, will be affected. Our plant in Munich and our plant in Leipzig, no short-term work there. And of course, we are also in intensive discussions and talks so that we can respond on a day-to-day basis. But I can say that we use several instruments, not only short-term work, but also the labor time account, etc., etc. Second part of the question, SGL Carbon Corporation or something like this. Mr. Draeger, maybe you can comment on that. As part of our strategy, efficient dynamics, I can say that lightweight is an issue of special significance for our company. In this context, I can say that we try to get these materials from the marketplace. This refers to high-strength steels as well as aluminium. Carbon fibers, of course, play a role as well, but using it on a grand scale, so to speak, this is something which we do not yet see in our production facilities. One of the reasons is that the price situation for carbon fibers does not allow us to start this kind of business on a grand scale. Mrs. Zimli first, and then Mrs. Becker. I had a question about the inventories and the respective capacities. Now, how high are your overcapacities, the excess capacities which you have in your inventories, and how long will it take to reduce them? And a question to you, Mr. Reithofer. In your presentation, you sang the praise of efficient dynamics and also compared the company with competitors. Now, does it not go down with the clients? Looking at your sales figures, you see there are competitors who sold more without efficient dynamics. Mr. Zimli, thank you. Let us start with the inventories. Mr. Arndt, please. Well, I forgot to give you a bit of information. By reducing our inventories in the fourth quarter, we were able to reach the level of the time at the end of 2007. This means we were not forced to produce excess capacities. In contrast to our competitors, we did not have excessive capacities. On the contrary, in the first quarter of 2009, we have enlarged the difference or the gap in comparison with last year. So this means we do not have excessive inventory capacities. We are below average in comparison with last year. So we do not have any excess capacities in this respect. Efficient dynamics, Mr. Reithofer, please. Well, I would like to ask your question from a different perspective. Let me come back to the core point of your question. At present, we are faced with a situation that from 2012, rules and regulations will come in effect. That is how the automotive manufacturers have to develop between 2012 to 2020. And the limiting value is of less than 100 grams per kilometer. This means this this relates to two development cycles until we've reached that time. So it is a must to think about the respective developments. And between 2012 and 2015, we will not be compelled to pay any penalties because our values will be below these legal values. Now, if you look at the CO2-based tax, then I can say that the BMW Group in all those countries where you are taxed accordingly, we can say that we fared better or benefited from our low emissions. And this is certainly a reason for the fact that we can say now, we, and this was a question which was put to us, you know, the scrapping bonus, and this is used only together with a CO2-based vehicle tax. We said you should give a bonus to those companies who did some investment in fuel-reducing systems and the development of fuel-reducing systems, and you can do so by introducing or by levying these CO2-based tax, vehicle tax. And in Germany, we would benefit from CO2-based vehicle tax coming into effect from July of 2010. And we have countries where the introduction of the CO2-based vehicle tax was planned. We had reductions of sales down to 20% of our original volumes, and after it's been introduced, we, you know, our sales skyrocketed again. But of course, you touch on a sore point or a truth, you see. You should not only do good, but you should also talk about. And I think if this is what you were referring to, then I can only agree with you. We have to, you know, drum up our efforts in this respect. Mrs. Becker, please. In 2009, what do you think will be the higher risk, lower used car prices for leased car returns or the high credit defaults and non-recurring items or special costs?
Herr Eichiner.
Mr. Eichiner, please.
Well,
I said that when talking about leased car returns and residual values, we prepared ourselves. We also talked about the development in the United States. So from today's perspective, we might assume that this is based on findings and the figures for January and February. We are very well prepared for this year as well in a normal case. You know, a normal case, or normally, what does it mean? Nobody knows how this crisis will continue. Maybe there will be new events which will lead to more turmoil in the marketplace. So we now assume that there will be a normal development in this marketplace. And of course, we can say that the residual value losses 360 credit defaults, and this out of an overall risk provision of 1.97 billion euros. So if you look at the relations, then of course this favors residual values, and I think we prepared ourselves accordingly. Risks, well, again, we prepared ourselves. I can only say that at the end of the day, it is all about the overall situation, how it is going to develop. Credit defaults, you know, they are going up in specific, in certain markets. We monitor this development, and I also said that we are going to prepare ourselves. This refers to dealers. It is not in our interest, certainly, that many dealers or retailers have to leave our network because it will also have a negative influence on our sales and revenues. And customer financing, here I can say that the customer standing standards have been raised in order to limit risks. So against this background, I can say that we are going to have this problem under control, but this is all I can say. Mr. Reithofer, talking about risks, then I should say that the large risk is or refers to the collapsing markets in 2009. You see, last year, and I want to emphasize this again, we had a split year. The first half was a normal year, and then everything went down and down, minus or down 25% by the end of the year. And if you ask me, what is the largest risk? Well, in 2009, the largest risk will be
for the industry, the automotive industry in the world, the collapsing markets. No question about that. More than 20% of falling revenues means you lose 20%. Mr. Ashman and Mr. Olsen, please. Question to Mr. Reithofer. In your first focus, you said it is all about to cushion off the effects of the economic crisis, to maintain the good position of the BMW. What I miss in all of these statements, what the strategic idea is, that is, what the future position of your company in the marketplace will be in comparison with others, Mercedes, Audi, Lexus. What is your objective? Where do you want to be positioned in the marketplace? That's question number one. And question number two is, there is a statement, long-term profitability objectives for 2012 will remain, will not be changed. But what is missing, and this is what you usually noted at this point, that is the sales objectives, 1.8 million vehicles by 2012, by 2020. This means we are within the period envisaged by the strategy number one approach. Are these objectives still relevant, or have you changed them? Mr. Reitman, well, Mr. Ashman, our profitability objectives were not changed for the year 2012. It also shows what our focus is. And you asked about volumes, that is, we said 1.8 million units. That was before the crisis. At present, we are in the process of planning our figures, and I cannot give you specific figures because we want to wait another 7 to 8 months. Then we need another point of departure, and then we will know where we are going to, say, land. I assume that we will not be able to sell 1.8 million units by 2012, because now we have this collapse, this downfall. So 2008 is down, and, you know, it will not be possible that development will go up immediately. No, it will be a gradual increase. I assume that we will fall below our original objective by 100,000 units. But to give you a forecast, and I'm sure that you will bear with us, I was very frank and open, to give you a forecast now is really too early. We have to look at the development in 2009, 2010, 2011, and you know, BMW is now faced with one disadvantage. Our volume models, the 3 Series, fourth year of the life cycle, 3 Touring, 3 Saloon, the 5 Series, you know, the last about 1 year of its life cycle, and I can only say that these cars will start in 2010, 2012. So all the things happening at our premium competitors, that is the last lines, were launched last year. And this is something which we are going to do from 2010 to 2012. And of course, this has to be taken into account when you do any calculations. By the end of the year, we will have the X1. We consider the X1 a volume module, and the 5 Series GT will be introduced this year, will be launched this year, and we are quite optimistic when talking about these two cars, and we also believe that we launch the right vehicle, that is the right the vehicle, i.e. the X1, in the right marketplace. The collapses, the downfalls which we had last year or 2 years ago is something which we have to take into account in our plans, and we have to digest, so to speak, this in our plans. That was one question. Now the other one. Well, your objective for the premium marketplace, you probably have noticed that we focus on sustainability, an important issue for us. And before that, you saw that in the European Union, we've got 156 or 158 grams per kilometer. We would like to improve things in this respect.
Because we say to position premium cars using PS, that is, cars having a high output, lots of BHP, will not be enough in the future. And therefore, we might have different strategy-related approaches in comparison with other competitors. We want to offer highly emotional, highly sportive cars, and we want to continue to do so, but with much lower fuel consumption. This is our objective. Now, how do we want to position ourselves in the marketplace? I mentioned, and I must say that we learn lots from the former managing director of Rolls-Royce. You see, premium manufacturer, volume should not be everything. The premium manufacturer has to take into account cost of return, volume, market position, segment share, etc., etc., etc. And only the, say, the whole, all these items playing together, then, and maybe I and Ian, you can comment on this position of BMW brand in comparison with the competitors. Maybe you can comment on that.
Clearly, if you look at our position last year,
wenn Sie sich unsere Position letztes Jahr ansehen und wenn wir das auf dieses Jahr übertragen, dann bleiben wir der Segmentführer. In den ersten beiden Monaten haben wir einen Segmentanteil gewonnen. Das bedeutet, 2008 haben wir schon zugelegt, aber dieses Jahr scheint nicht so weit zu gehen. Wie wir schon gesagt haben, wie unser CEO schon gesagt hat, da gibt es neue Modelle, die eingeführt werden, insbesondere gegen Ende des Jahres die für der 5er GT und natürlich der X1, ganz klar. Und ebenso, wenn wir an 2010 denken, da haben wir ein Fahrzeugerneuerungsprogramm. Es ist unser klares Ziel, dass wir der Segmentführer bleiben. Hier wollen wir unsere Position ausbauen und das werden wir machen. Vielleicht noch ein anderes Element, was ich ansprechen möchte. Hier geht es um die Efficient Dynamics. Letztes Jahr haben wir 180.000 Fahrzeuge mit Efficient Dynamics Technologie verkauft. Und ich glaube, das ist mehr als jeder andere Hersteller in der Welt. Und in der Tat ist es doch so, und das kann ich ganz explizit sagen, dass damit unsere Position, das heißt unsere technologische Führerschaft, noch betont wird. Das heißt, wir sind nicht selbstgefällig, keineswegs, sondern wir möchten einfach der Segmentführer im Premium-Segment bleiben.
Gut, als nächstes Herr Olsen und dann Mr. Go.
Yes, thank you for this comment. Mr. Krüger, will you have a bonus for your employees working under trade union contracts and refinancing, Mr. Krüger, is more difficult now. Could you describe what is the refinancing volume which you handled last year? And what will happen in 2009 and 2010? Maybe you could also give us a hint how the structure will change, you know, the elements included, papers, ABS, etc., etc. And maybe you could also give us an idea of what the free credit lines are for BMW, because I'm sure that they're not being used. Free cash flow last year, just below zero, 81 million. Now we heard lots about the working capital, it's being reduced, and how liquidity positions or items are being built up, etc., etc. Now, could you give us an indication whether or not, in accordance with your plans, what the free cash flow will be? And currency, we haven't heard anything about that, because in previous years, that was an important issue. You're very strong when it comes to the US dollar, pound sterling. Last year, I think the burden, so to speak, was not as high as expected. Thank you very much, Mr. Olsen. Is it possible that the CEO can answer the first question of yours, that is success or participation in the success respective bonuses? You see, when it comes to these non-exempt employees, then, you know, I do not want to avoid your question. The real reason why we do not want to announce these elements, it is a good BMW tradition, and we are going to have works meetings next week. And we want to give this information to our staff first. I believe this is in style. And after we've given this information to our staff in cooperation with our works council, then we are going to inform the public. Is that fair or isn't it?
Good. Vielen Dank.
Thank you, Mr. Aichina. Second part of the question.
Now, you asked about refinancing.
You see, talking about maturities, due dates, and the structure of our financial services business, I can say that we will be able to, or will have to, refinance 30 million. And of course, we have lots of roll forward items, credits, etc., which have to be carried forward. And the rest? Well, here we need refinancing this year a bit more than 11 billion. In structural terms, we have changed approaches. We have got more assets which we can use for our investment, and we have got more bonds. They have been positioned. And at present, we were able to place more than 4 billion of bonds, and I believe this is the right amount. It means, from today's point of view, we do not see any problems, and as I said before, we will be able to pre-finance things. Of course, we are going to use commercial papers. We are going to use this instrument. It is available to us too. And like last year, we are going to use it today. Cash flow. Of course, it is our objective to achieve positive cash flow. And one of the elements of our activities is we want to manage our working capital. Our investments are to be managed properly and appropriately. We want, I'm sure that we will succeed in doing so if the environment is stable. Now, the question is, will this environment remain stable, or will it become stable again, or will there be major events, that is, new turmoil in the marketplace? Is that something which we can expect? Well, if that happens, I cannot guarantee that we will be able to achieve our objectives. You mentioned currencies. Last year, we had a burden with a view to currencies, 400 million euros, and the US dollar and the pound sterling were the main reasons for this burden. Situation this year, I think our position is quite safe. Nevertheless, we are going to have a few, say, burdens, like dollar. No, there are new issues, development of the ruble. Market very strong, and it is very difficult to, say, collateralize the ruble. So we've got some negative developments vis-a-vis the euro, so there might be some negative problems. Next, Mr. Gao and Mr. Jiang, please.
David Gao from Guardian. Guten Tag.
David Gao from Guardian. Mr. Reithoff has said the main objective is the independence and maintain the independence of the group. Now, this independence, is it threatened? And could you give us a clear answer with a view to other competitors, you know, the competition in the premium segment? And then another question to Mr. Eichiner. He said, if the economic climate will worsen, will it deteriorate even further, so then you might use a new scenario. And of course, the economic climate has deteriorated. The forecasts are going down, are pointing downwards. ECB today, International Monetary Fund, their indicators are all pointing downwards. So what is the new scenario you envisage? What are the measures, the actions you want to take in this respect?
Welche neue Maßnahmen können Sie?
So what are the new measures you'd like to take?
Danke.
Herr Reithofer. Thank you, Mr. Reithofer, first.
Also ich war nicht im Élysée-Palast.
Well, I didn't go to the Élysée Palace, and we did not plan any mergers with other automotive manufacturers. And there was none of my colleagues went to the Élysée Palace, you know. There were some people saying the BMW and PSA want to merge or that we want to take over PSA. I can only say that was grapevine, that were rumors, and we at BMW really were laughing out loud. Yes, we do not want to have this cooperation. Talking about cooperation, we can envisage major cooperations with others. Corporations going beyond the joint development of a four-cylinder engine, for instance. Because we believe that the economies of scale, that is, benefits like that, advantages like that, might be generated, might be a good thing when it comes to companies working together, companies with a good standing. You see, we cannot say that we've become better because we, as a premium manufacturer, use standard components from, you know, a mass producer. Second part, Mr. Aichina. You mentioned the scenarios. Planning scenarios, I think scenarios and working out scenarios is the only correct approach which we need in times like these. At present, we assume a market decline of 10 to 20%, and we use these figures as a basis for our scenarios. Of course, there might be a different situation, and then you have to think of what is possible. But it is not only about whether things will become even worse. No, it is all about how long can this crisis last. And of course, there's hardly any reliable news around. Many people or some people expect improvements by the end of this year, maybe 2010. This is what others say. You know, we may be faced with these difficult times maybe for a longer period of time.
Diese Faktoren sind nicht in unserer Hand.
It all has to do what the politicians are going to do in the near future. And I believe that we have to see that all the assumptions which we've taken, you know, this range, 10 to 20%, if this range is not enough, then, of course, we have to find answers dealing with more difficult situations. But to give you specific proof or facts or figures, I believe it is not yet the time. Mrs. Jiang, probably, and then Mr. Stahl. I've got two questions. The Chinese-German relationship, in particular in 2008, I can say the relationship between these two countries was not very good, and this might have affected German businesses, or did it affect, and what do we expect? What does the German industry expect with a view to this Chinese-German relationship and then intellectual property? I think this is a major issue when discussing problems in China. And what are the measures or actions taken by BMW in order to protect one's own assets in China better? Is there a new department for, I don't know, IP management, like, for instance, in BMW Beijing?
Thank you. Dr. Reithofer, please, first. Well, the relationship between Brilliance and us, our joint venture partner Brilliance and us, is excellent. It's never been bad. We cooperate very well, madam. Very good cooperation. Yes, an intellectual property. Dr. Draeger, can you comment on that one? Intellectual property? Well, as a rule, I mean, it's obvious, we secure our products through patents. The patents are duly registered in accordance with the general regulations and in accordance with international law. And the patents are, of course, supported and upheld in all markets. We make sure that they're observed in all markets. In other words, we do make every effort to make sure they're properly observed, also in China, in countries like China. So far, with our specific products, we have not heard of any infringement of our patents. So everything's been all right. Yes, thank you. And regarding further questions, but this has nothing to do in this context, just quite generally, that is behind you, we have our company, our corporate counsel. He's right behind you, and he didn't know that this question was coming up, but if you have any further questions in that context, he is the right man. Now, Mr. Stahl, Mr. Reithofer, two questions regarding your labor force policy, your workforce policy in Germany. You said that 1,000 to 1,500 jobs will be dropped or might be dropped in 2009. Are those permanent fixed jobs? And in Germany, do you preclude any termination, any redundancies for operational reasons this year and the years to come? And then you said that you have more than 5% apprentices, apprentice ratio. In 2009, will you maintain this figure or will it go down? And are you continuing to train apprentices above your own demand? And then one more question regarding Daimler, regarding Mercedes. Might there be an integration of the two companies in terms of Daimler and BMW in terms of capital in future, an exchange of ownership? Mr. Reithofer. Well, I said before that net we're looking at 1,000 to 1,500 people. These are people with firm, with permanent employment contracts. We have people, for example, entering early retirement, leaving the company, in other words, what we call natural fluctuation, natural turnover, and we refill those jobs underproportionally. Again, each year this is about 1,000 to 1,500 people. And if, of course, we take on apprentices who've completed their training, and when we also hire new engineers, that, of course, is a counter, another factor. So about, let's say, 500 to 100,000 people would be leaving the company each year if you set off these two factors. Then you asked about redundancy for operational reasons, and there will not be any such redundancies, no. As far as apprentices are concerned, I think Mr. Köhler can come in. Mr. Kröger. Well, Dr. Reithofer has already stated that we are, of course, dedicated and committed to the environment, to society, which means training young people. And in 2008, we'll again be taking on apprentices. It was about 1,100 apprentices worldwide last year, or 1,080 in Germany, to be precise. We've already taken on new apprentices this year. We're also doing this, of course, to secure the future, our own future. Because when such apprentices, sorry, I just switched off a microphone, when those apprentices have completed their training in 3 years' time, their people will need, because as Dr. Reithofer said, from 2010 to 2012, we are looking at a further model of initiative, new models, and of course for that purpose alone, we'll need new and talented people, young people, to continue our product initiative. And again, in Germany, we have more than 5% in apprentices taken on board and will continue at that level. The natural fluctuation or turnover of employees, as Dr. Reithofer said, we obviously have as well. And we say, okay, there are certain jobs that we don't have to fill anymore when somebody leaves the company. Last year, for example, with Dr. Dräger's division, we hired 150 new engineers and will be continuing to do so this year, which again is a clear pledge we're making to the future. One further point regarding Rolls-Royce. Ian Robertson.
Rolls-Royce was expanding its workforce last year, and we had a very good experience where we took around about 60 of the German apprentices from the plants of Regensburg and Dingolfing, and they're now employed in Goodwood in southern England. They add to the 30 or so UK-based apprentices there, and I think that shows the international opportunities that we also can bring to the group. And in the same way, there are a large number of German apprentices now working in the Oxford and the Hams Hall plants in the United Kingdom as well. And it works exceedingly well.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Eichinger now, investments in Mercedes and Mercedes investments in BMW. Well, cooperation, yes, definitely. This is really successful. We think that, you know, investing in each other's companies is not required, is not necessary. There are no such plans at the moment, and we don't see any advantages that this would give BMW. Okay, it's 12 o'clock, ladies and gentlemen. I have six requests for the floor. I will try to go through those six requests. Mr. Pretzlaff, Mr. Kronig, Mr. Kartemann, Mr. Krepper, Mrs. Meyer, and then there's one lady, I don't have your name, I'm afraid, madam. I can not read it from here. Okay, but I know that you're still on the list as well. And Mr. Schaefer. Okay, seven. Seven for the requests. Who's that at the back? Somebody else? Okay, so eight. And having gone through those eight speakers, I think we should then close the list of speakers. So let's start now with Mr. Pretzlaff. Well, I've got a question, gentlemen, regarding your cooperation with Daimler. Mr. Reithofer, you don't want to give us a figure or any financial dimensions or figures, but I would like to have a further statement from you on this cooperation, what you're doing precisely. You say that you're working together in purchasing. Is that in Germany? Is it outside of Germany? Is it components? What kinds of components? Last week, Mr. Winterkorn said that by purchasing batteries and screen wipers, you can't really save very much. So can you tell us what it's all about? Okay, well, I'm not surprised that Mr. Winterkorn says this, Mr. Pretzlaff. That's what you would expect. But maybe Mr. Dies can comment on this. Yes, cooperation in purchasing is based on work that Mr. Dräger has already done in the past. We went to visit to see Daimler and checked out their specifications and our specifications to find out what components we both have, what components we share, what we can include in our list, in our purchasing list, parts that don't distinguish us from one another. This list is quite long, and we've now started sourcing these components in the market. We're talking about a double-digit number of parts, of components, electronic components, mechanical systems, which by and large, again, do not distinguish our cars from Mercedes and vice versa. So there are no USPs. You might say commodities, general commodities. The savings effects are quite substantial on each part, on each component, because basically we're doubling our volume, of course, purchasing these parts together, which allows suppliers as well to save money, and we benefit, both of us, from these savings. The volume and the number of such parts is going up all the time. But again, we're careful about what we're doing here, because we do believe that both the Mercedes brand, of course, and Mercedes are very different and must remain different in future from one another, and everything else that would, you know, dilute this distinction, these distinctions, anything that would weaken the characteristics of our brands would be bad news. Purchasing, and I think this is your second point, also works closely, more closely internationally. We work together on sourcing, above all in the NAFTA region, where we both have virtually the same position. We both have a production plant in the USA, production plants that are growing. We are allocating a new model to our US plant, and so there we agree on sourcing decisions, we agree on suppliers who should move to the States, and we have the same position again in China, although we might be a few years ahead there. But there too, we're pooling our purchasing activities. For example, through the recognition, the mutual recognition of or of suppliers, audits, for example, that we do with suppliers. In other words, when our colleagues from Stuttgart approve a supplier, we accept their approval, which means that we don't have to audit the supplier again. We can avoid the duplication of work. This is something, an activity which has picked up a lot in the last 6 months. We're very motivated by the initial success of this cooperation and the good results, and also the good spirit of our cooperation. So again, we're working on this consistently. Thank you very much indeed, Dr. Dies. Mr. Kronig, please, and then Mr. Carterman. Yes, I've got a little question, a further question regarding your outlook. You have confirmed your financial objective for 2012, but your ROCE and EBIT margin for 2009 and 2010 you haven't mentioned, or you haven't at least upheld. So what did you originally plan in terms of your return, your ROCE, and also your EBT? Mr. Eichner, perhaps you could answer this one. Well, for 2010, we were looking at a 6% EBT. I think we did communicate that figure, and we state as well that we want to have more than 26% ROCE, more than 26%. We, of course, have to consider how the market is developing, when the market will improve again, when it will recover. And I think in the course of the year, we'll be giving you more concrete figures as soon as, again, things become clearer. Okay, but what was your original plan for 2009? What was your original expectation? You've just referred to 2010 now. What was your original plan for 2009? Well, I think this is, no, just speculative. I mean, that won't help us. We said exactly what we expect of 2009, and to start, you know, a little battle of figures now, I think won't get us anywhere. Then, Mr. Carterman, over to you. You said that you hardly benefit from the scrappage premium in Germany. Can you tell us how many cars you've sold, perhaps because of the premium all the same? And then regarding CO2, the CO2 targets, can you tell us what the fleet consumption of BMW Group cars will be in 2012? Ian, the scrappage premium.
To date, we've sold between 3,000 and 4,000 cars against the Abwrack premium. We are also expecting to sell a similar number of young used cars. Primarily, we are looking at entry models such as the 1 Series and the Mini, and maybe a few 3 Series that come into the, as I say, nearly new category. So, you know, overall, I think it has had a positive effect for BMW. But as you heard earlier, it's mainly the volume car makers who are benefiting to a greater extent.
CO2 Flottenverbrauch, Herr Dr. Dräger.
Okay, CO2 fleet consumption, Dr. Dräger. Well, the agreement for fleet consumption for 2012 follows from 120 grams of CO2. That's the figure that's been agreed. And on this basis, 120 grams CO2, on this basis, and that's the agreement again, further innovations, ecological innovations, will be required, and we'll be making them. And we'll also, of course, have a certain correction factor to take different sizes of vehicles into account. You know that there's been a new slope here, a new gradient of 60% introduced for larger and for smaller cars, and that means that in 2012, including the models introduced up to that point in time, or 2015, will give us a certain consumption figure that we cannot, however, disclose yet. But I was hoping for a figure, says the gentleman, a definite figure. Well, right now, we can't give you that figure, not yet. We do, of course, know this figure, says Dr. Reithofer, but we don't want to disclose that figure yet because it's also relevant to the competition. But it'll certainly be far below 158 grams of CO2 per kilometre. Thank you. Then Mr. Schaefer and Mr. Hayden. I've got several questions. First of all, regarding the year 2009, I mean, car manufacturers, of course, don't want to forecast their results, their turnover figures, their revenue figures for 2009, but you've said what the market is like. I mean, down 26% at the moment. Can you say that you will probably be making a loss this year at BMW because of this decline in sales? And perhaps you can go to some further details here. And then another question as well. The 4 billion CapEx, the reduction of CapEx versus 2008. Can you add some further information here? The increase in efficiency you're talking about, where does it come from? And then several questions regarding financial services and the BMW Bank. First of all, SOFIN, the financial regulations in Germany. Mr. Eichener, you said that you're observing the market very carefully, and you said as well that if there are any reasons to do so for competitive purposes, you would make an application, you'd file an application, and in fact, the BMW Bank has already, Daimler Bank has already filed such an application. So why don't you do so as well? I mean, what will the important move, the important point be? And then the structure of the BMW Bank. Are you also considering moving out the BMW Bank more out of the BMW Group, making it more independent of BMW, like the VW Bank, the Volkswagen Bank? And then the central bank, the German central bank, how do you want to improve your access to the German central bank? ABS collaterals or Are you thinking of other financial derivatives and tools? And then one further question. Okay, sorry, that was five questions already, sir. Please do bear with us also versus the other colleagues as well. Okay, well, one further question. Otherwise, if it's important, yes. Otherwise, I'll choose, you know, just five of the six. Well, I did wait a long time, that's why, to ask my questions. Well, so did your other colleagues. Please do bear with us. Okay, the last question then to Mr. Reithofer. You say that you could imagine better cooperation, more cooperation. Can you define this a bit more, saying in what areas that might be? And what do you think about one of your competitors who said that on account of the crisis, there will only be two or three manufacturers left over in Europe? Right, thank you very much indeed, Mr. Schaefer. I think we should start with Dr. Reithofer on this question of cooperation and losses or whatever. Well, the last question again means size is survival. And we've seen in recent years and decades that this is not the case, not necessarily. Size doesn't mean bigger profits. There are examples, and I won't mention those examples, round on the other side of the world, which really show this is not true, that size does not mean success. And cooperation, I don't want to go into detail, no, I don't want to go into any further details, because that is something we do with our cooperation partner. And you heard from Mr. Dees before that we're working together already, not just talking about this or that, and that we already have results, good results. We have two cooperation partners at the moment, basically PSA on one side with our small cars, with the engine for Mini. And as you have heard also from Mr. Dees, we have cooperation, close cooperation right now with Daimler in purchasing. But I wouldn't like to go beyond those points at the moment. I think we should do our work, we should do a good job first. And when we have a lot to present, then we'll do so. When we have big challenges, we'll handle them as well. Then you've asked about our forecasts for results, for profits. The answer is no, we cannot forecast our results for 2009. That is not possible at this point in time. And again, I'd like to repeat what I said before. If you'd asked me in July of last year where BMW would be at the end of the year, I would have told you something else than what I experienced, what we all experienced ourselves in November, looking at the markets. And again, right now, and I'm not trying to evade your question, we're in an economic situation where it is, if you're fair, quite impossible to make forecasts. You cannot make a forecast in this situation, which is why we're not doing so, and not for the first quarter either. Thank you. The second part of the question, Mr. Eichner. You referred to CapEx. And the point is that with the reductions we have, the reductions that we are looking at, we will not be in any way querying our model range. We're not undermining our model range at all. In fact, after this crisis, we intend to go on growing. And everything we've planned strategically in expanding our product portfolio is still a firm plan for the future, part of our CapEx, no doubt about it. But we're looking at efficiency. We're talking about efficiency. And right now, we're checking all expenditure, every penny we spend. And we must find ways and means, again, of using more modular systems, the way we develop our products, the reuse of facilities, many other things are being considered at the moment in order to save as much money as possible and to reach our objectives all the same. So these are the basic points. Then you're talking about guarantees, state guarantees and VW. VW has applied for a warranty, a guarantee of a certain magnitude, but we don't think that distorts competition, not yet. The question is, of course, how things will continue. And depending on how things go on, we believe that this or that response might be appropriate. But again, we don't know what's going to happen. I must say as well that we're very successful in the capital market at the moment. We've been using our facilities, and we don't have a financing problem. In fact, we are very well pre-financed, so there's no need here. There's no, let's say, urgency. The question is, are funds provided at, let's say, very good conditions, to good terms and conditions, which are not available to us? That would be unfair. That would give us a disadvantage. But at the moment, that is not the case, at least not to a significant extent. Then you've asked about the restructuring of our financial business, our financial services business. We've got a bank in Germany, a bank in the States, and we've seen through the crisis that those banks are of strategic importance to us if we develop them, if they're properly, let's say, developed for the future. And this is indeed one of the approaches we're taking, restructuring our financial services business, so that in this way we'll be able to concentrate more on these banks, on our financial volume within the banks, using financing, refinancing options also through central banks. So we're, of course, considering all of those options. Risk management is another important word. Risk management must also be centralized to a greater extent. And that's the second lever, in fact, that we are applying. And the third lever I've already mentioned as well, and that is that we have succeeded, really succeeded very well indeed, in developing our business, our deposits business, positively. We're trying to use these facilities positively in the various markets. That's the third angle we're applying here. Okay, thank you. We've got three more requests for the floor, and then, again, we must close the list and call it an end. Mrs. Meyer, Mr. Krepper, and then the lady, again, I've got your name, madam, I can't read your name badge at the back. Yeah, well, I'm afraid I've got four questions too. The first one is about the USA. What are you doing specifically in the States in order to keep your sales in the United States at a certain level, not to drop down too far? So are you taking specific action in the US market to uphold sales? And then you said before that you will be giving greater significance in future to the design of your cars. What do you plan to do? You've just changed your chief designer. Does that mean you'll have design in future which is less oriented to the States, to the United States? So what's new there? And then could you tell us as well what battery partner you're discussing matters with at the moment, and where you might be going in terms of electric drive? That is, what partners might you have here? And then the X1 and the 5 Series GT, how will they affect your volume, your sales, in 2009? Okay, I think we should start with sales in the States and the X1, the 5 Series GT. Ian.
We have a very successful business in the United States, and despite some of the things you may hear, we actually see our segment growing there, albeit against a lower overall volume. We have a strong dealer body, and they are still profitable, and they're investing very strongly in the future as well. So I think in the same way as we're confident about the U.S. remaining the largest premium manufacturer, or the largest premium market in the world, our dealers are in a similar mindset. Having said all of that, it is clear that the U.S. is affected probably greater than any other market at this point in time. It's very competitive, and as such, we are very recognizing of that, and we expect that it will remain that way during this year. You also heard that we are concentrating a lot on our used car business in the United States, and we have seen a very strong uptick in that area in recent months. And that involves many factors, such as, on the one hand, motivating the dealers to become more involved in used cars. Unlike Europe, that is something which is not the norm. Many of the used cars end up in what you would call independent traders. But our own franchise is now beginning to take that up. And equally, many of the facilities that exist in the United States are not equipped fully as yet for used cars. So again, we are looking to see how we can improve that over the next couple of months and during this year. So overall, a very challenging market, but one in which we enjoy a lot of success. We are the largest European premium manufacturer, and we gained ground on the market leader last year, who is a Japanese manufacturer. So business continues, and we expect that to be the case during 2009.
Good. Design und...
Okay, thank you very much indeed. Then design, Mini-E, electric motors, electric drive. Dr. Draeger. Well, regarding design, Chris Bangle has decided, after 17 years at BMW, at the BMW Group, to establish his own design studio. In other words, the next step in his life, you might say. And as far as design is concerned, we will be continuing our policy, our philosophy. Adrian von Hooydonk was the BMW brand design, chief of design, and he's now assumed overall responsibility for BMW group design. And therefore, in our design, we will be continuing along the existing lines. Continuity is the name of the game. Continuity based on our latest products, the new 7 Series, the 5 Series GT, if you look at BMW, but also with Rolls-Royce, the Rolls-Royce concept car, for example, that we presented in Geneva. There again, we're looking at continuity. And I think that, again, that when it comes to design, we're doing exactly the right thing, going in the right direction. There will be no difference in our case between design for the USA and design for Europe or for Asia. Rather, what counts for us is that we build cars that are built for the world, the whole world, cars which are successful and popular in Asia, in the USA, and of course in Europe and Germany. So much on design. Your second question, the second part of your question, was who do we work with in battery development, in developing our batteries? Let me refer briefly here to Project I in this context. In the context of Project I, you see, we've given ourselves the task to find solutions for the future, for sustainable mobility in future. And the very first project coming out of Project I is the Mini E, the very first product that they created. In the case of Mini E, to give you an exact example, a concrete answer, we're working with AC Propulsion, they're our partner with the Mini E. And we have another project in the pipeline at the moment, our megacity vehicle. And we've stated that our megacity vehicle, on the one hand, will be available with a combustion engine, but also with an electric motor. You'll have the option to buy either that or that drivetrain, one of the two. And this is something we're currently examining, trying to find out where we get the best cell technology, battery cell technology, meaning that we're looking at the entire market, starting with Korean manufacturers, such as LG. Then there's Japan, of course, and in the States we have A123. They're also possible suppliers. So again, we're checking out the entire spectrum at the moment for cell technology and electrochemistry, electrochemical systems, and a decision will be taken in due course. Thank you very much indeed. But there was one final question, volume of the X1 and the 5 Series GT. That question, I'm afraid, hasn't been answered. Well, I think that that question is a bit premature. I mean, it's a bit premature now to say what the volume will be. But Ian?
The 5 Series GT will be a relatively niche product, so not significantly high volume. On the other hand, the X1 we believe to be a stronger volume player. But as Max just said, it's probably too early to predict that at this moment in time.
Good.
Okay, thank you. Now the last two requests for the floor, Mr. Kepper and Mrs. Walewska. Now I've got your name, madam. Yes, sir. We see, looking at BMW, that your sales volume is moving more towards the 1 Series. You're selling more 1 Series. And I assume that this trend will continue and that margins will drop accordingly. And, of course, I also see the same trend with your other model series. In other words, the 7 Series customer will buy the cheaper entry-level model into the 7 Series. The 5 Series or the 3 Series customer will also go for the smaller models in the 5 and the 3 Series. I assume that is correct. Perhaps you can confirm that. And then the megacity vehicle, will it be a BMW or are you considering a fourth brand? Thank you, Mr. Prepper. Ian?
I don't really accept what you just said there. If you look at, for example, the X5 and the X6, we're enjoying ongoing success. In fact, we outsell the two other competitors put together. So that particular model range, which is higher up the revenue curve, is enjoying a very good period. Equally, as you heard from Norbert during his speech, the 7 Series is now the segment leader in those markets where it's been launched. And we fully suspect that this month in the United States, where we will launch the vehicle towards the end of the month, it will quickly become the leader there as well. So whereas we are enjoying a lot of success with 1 Series, we've expanded the family of products, and of course the two top models there, being the coupe and the convertible, made up a very large proportion of our business last year, and they are of course largely from a price point of view within the 3 Series segment,
Yes, we are enjoying success at that point in the, of the revenue curve, but also right at the top as well. And of course, from a group level, you've got Rolls-Royce right at the top as well, or at the very, very, very top. And the average transaction price there is circa $400,000 to $450,000.
Gut, zweiter Teil der Frage.
Okay, thank you. The next part of the question was a fourth brand possibly for Project I. Dr. Dräger. Well, looking at our megacity vehicle, we're currently, you know, really trying to come to terms with the megacities of the future, what their requirements, their demands will be, what are the requirements of urban planners, what are the requirements of customers, what do all they demand? And then, of course, we must take it from there. We haven't yet taken a decision, for example, regarding the final design of the vehicle. That will be taken, that decision, at a later point in time. Mr. Reithofer said before that in the first half of the period involved, between 2010 and 2015, the first half of the next decade, we'll be entering the market with our megacity vehicle, meaning that we don't have to take those decisions yet. Okay, thank you. Mrs. Valeska now, the last question.
Mr. Reithofer, you were not sounding very optimistic when talking about the possible financial intervention into automotive companies. I'm talking about Opel. What do you think can be the danger? You have said we don't know where this type of intervention can end. What can be the danger of this type of help?
Herr Dr. Reithofer.
Dr. Reithofer. Well, I'll start with Germany, you know, taking up your question first in Germany. If two premium manufacturers in the south of Germany benefit less from the APRAC premium, the scrappage premium, and if mass producers benefit more from that premium, that bonus, then that alone distorts competition. That is, the, you know, the beginning of a certain distortion of competition. It means an increase in sales volume on one side, that is in the mass market, but no significant change in the other markets, in the premium markets. Looking now at the European Union and talking about 6 billion euros, for example, that is even greater distortion of competition compared with other companies, other car manufacturers, that have to do their own thing in the money market and have to finance their own activities themselves. If that keeps on happening, we'll have just two or three independent car manufacturers left in Europe, and the rest will be state-owned or semi-state-owned. Do we want to have this, yes or no? That's all I have to say.
Good.
Okay, thank you. Dear colleagues, thanks very much indeed. I know that you haven't all been able to ask your questions. I'm sorry, but please do bear with us. It's 12:30. We've been together now for 2.5 hours. So let me invite you to lunch here in the BMW Welt. All of the BMW board members will be here and our experts as well. So thank you again for your questions, for your great interest. Thank you and auf Wiedersehen.